but none of them, you know, satisfy you like that. Like, no, these are the ones. And then sometimes going to town and shooting bangers the whole time every time you press the shutter button.
I want to create solutions which help people.
Be this person I want to be in the future. I have to follow this path.
Seeing their lifestyle, you know, the type of lifestyle that I want.
Africa's bank accounts, paint your dreams.
Welcome to today's episode. Today I'm joined by Mike. Mike is a creative in photography and a bit of in videography also. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm good, man. How are you, Aubrey?
I'm very good. I'm very good. How has your day been? How's your week been?
It's been getting quite busy lately because this week I've been quite consistent with posting on my page. So a lot of people have been coming in the DMs wanting work done. So it's been quite hectic in that case.
I can totally vouch for you in that space. You've been really been active almost every day to you post. Yeah. And it's really I really love your art style, though. I really love the way you do it. We'll get into more information about that later on the podcast. But otherwise, can you just tell people who is Mike, what do you like doing, what is you, who is Mike when besides Right Eye Creates? Most people might know you as Right Eye Creates, but who is Mike?
Mike is a 29-year-old man. I can't say really. I can't say boy. He's a 29-year-old man, and he's always loved creating. You know, it's awkward when someone asks you to talk about yourself because you then don't know what to say for some reason. But yeah, I enjoy exercising a lot. I enjoy being alone as well. I suppose they say photography, you know, that sort of art is mostly individual. It's something that you do alone, so it's considered mostly for introverts most of the time. Not all the time, but yeah. So I'm quiet, I'm chilled, I'm funny, I suppose, you know, and I love creating. I think it hasn't always been like that, sorry. I suppose I've always been creating since I was young and everything, but at this stage now, it feels like a niche that I'm actually doing now. So I actually do go to work. I have a 9 to 7, 9 to 5, sorry. But yeah, I leave the office around 7 most of the time. I'm an IT administrator, IT officer stroke at Securico. So that's my day job from Monday to Friday, sometimes Saturday. So when I shoot content, I just shoot like a whole bunch of content, maybe on the weekends. Then I just edit for like next 2 weeks or so. So basically, I don't know if I left anything out that people might want to know, but I would say that's mostly it, if I've said anything at all. So yeah.
That's a lovely introduction there, Mike. Especially the way you got a 9 to 5, but somehow you also manage to do your content. It's really interesting, especially, you know, the work-life balance. How is that work-life balance? You know, you got your work, but you also got this passion you're chasing. How do you balance those two things?
You know, the goal is always to have your passion as a job, not as a job really, but just they say if you do something you love, you know, you make it in life, because it then doesn't seem like a job. It's just you're just doing your passion, you're then getting paid for it. So the goal is to actually leave the 9 to 5 and start doing this, you know, 24/7. But the industry in Zim is kind of limiting when it comes to, you know, the creative industry. So it's not something you can. Well, at this stage that I'm at, it's not something that I can live on. You know, there are people who can, you know, the big time video directors, big time creatives in Zim, or, you know, or Zim, because, you know, we're basically talking about the situation here. So, yeah, balancing it out is, I don't know, I think I found a way to do it. It's been quite a long time when I've been doing this, that I've been doing this, sorry. I go to work mostly from, you know, from 8 to 5. Like I said, I live on a saving most of the time. So when I'm at work, I try to find time to edit. Obviously, you know, like busy all the time at work, you know, you get some free time. And then when I get the free time, I edit some. And then when I get home, I also have to edit a bit, especially when I have people's projects that I'm supposed to, you know, roll out after a certain date or before a certain date. Sometimes they're sleepless nights, I'll be honest. I will have a sleepless night, then tomorrow morning I'm going to work, go on for 2 days, you know, then I start having headaches, then I have to sleep all night sometimes. So it's just, I've gotten used to that system of balancing the two things out. But, you know, one suffers sometimes, you know, for example, if I don't take a night's rest, like I don't sleep the whole night, if I go to work, obviously I'll be suffering. But then, you know, my editing also, I have to edit. So when I'm at work, you know, sometimes there's really no time to edit. I don't get any free time, so I miss out, and then sometimes I miss deadlines. But people supposedly understand that, you know, this guy at 24 is a 75, sorry, so obviously maybe he might not get the full time that he needs to edit, because editing is a thing that takes a lot of time. I'll be honest, it takes quite a lot of time to get it right, to get it the way you vision it in your mind. It's something that takes a lot of time to perfect. So yeah,
I would like to think that people will actually appreciate that, you know, that editing takes a lot of time, and also you trying to balance, especially I think when someone, a client comes to you and they offer you a project, I think you come up front like, no, I'm not a full-time guy. So some of the timelines you guys might want might not be realistic in my schedule. But I feel like, especially in Zim, a lot of people might tend to understand the situation. Like, of course, some he has to get like the bread, he has to put food on the table. So they kind of give you a leeway. So before we continue deeper into that journey, can you just give us your background, where you grew up, you know, maybe how you entered this photography space?
Okay. Well, as far as I can remember, the first city that I stayed in was, well, it's not a city, more of like a town, was the Invasion and Bridge. That's where I was staying with my uncle, my mom's brother. I've never really stayed with my parents my whole life. The way I live, both of them, well, my dad is still alive. My mom was alive until I was grade six, but I never go to stay with them. At least I don't remember that far back, because the furthest I can remember back is when I was staying with my grandma. And I just started primary school, like grade one type of level. So I don't remember back from that stage. But then from that stage on, I've stayed with my grandma. That's Kumusha, obviously. You know, everybody got to stay with grandma at some point. So then I stayed with my uncles. I was just switching places. I'd go to this uncle, then the next uncle, then maybe my guru mama. I'll just, you know, keep on switching relatives. And then suddenly I moved on to my father's side. I think after like form one, that's when I moved to my father's side. There must have been some sort of dispute between the two families. So then I started living on my father's side. And I went to school. Well, I've been to different schools for my primary years, because I was just switching a lot. And then in secondary school, I was now in Harare. I was now staying, you know, on my father's side. So I went to, for high school, I went to Trust Academy. No, sorry, form one to form three, I was at Gogomere. That's a mission school in Mashingo. It's a Catholic mission school. I was there until form three, then I moved to Harare, and then I was at Trust Academy. That's where I wrote my O-levels. So I was only there for 1 year. And then for the next 2 years, I was, for the A-level now, I was at St. John's Maradio, the Red Blazer, everyone. Yeah. So then after that, I went to uni, Stellenbosch. Did work hard. I think I was doing something that I wasn't put up for, you know. And then didn't wait like 2 years. Then I came back. Then I went to AU, African University in Mutare. That's when I did computer information systems. So that's how I ended up being in IT. I was actually gifted my camera with my cousin. She's called Pami. So she had bought it to just use for, you know, for a family gathering, family events. But then she wasn't ever using it. It was just sitting. And I had only seen it once while she was holding it. And we were actually going somewhere. But then she never took it out of the bag. So I was, you know, that's when I noticed, that's really useless. So that's when I asked her for it. Before that, I had done in photography. I used to do, obviously, for Instagram, with my phone and everything. And, you know, so then I was like, you know, camera would be really cool. And then I asked her for it. And fortunately enough, she was like, uncle, I never really use this camera. You can have it. You're the more creative one. So then she gave me the camera. That was like That should have been 5 years ago. Exactly, 5 years ago. So that's when I started out in street photography, just taking pictures of my family gatherings and everything. That's what I would post on my Instagram. So I opened the Instagram, Right Eye Creates. Yeah, there's a history behind that, but let me not get into that. I feel like I've been talking for a while now. So that's when I started the street photography. Mostly that had been my niche for quite a long time. I would post, you know, like storylines and you know, people just going about their day in town, and then maybe writing some, like, engaging in some sort of storyline that I'll write on the pictures. It would just look cool, and the carousels should just, you know, graphically cool. That's when I started just getting creative. Then I moved into video, and yeah, we are here now.
That's a lovely background. You've gone through a lot growing up, and I see that it has really shaped you to someone who's really focused in what you do. And, you know, of course, moving around, and that usually does affect people, but it seems like it doesn't affect you, that didn't affect you to that extent where you're not afraid to put yourself out there to the people. And once again, I want to thank your cousin for just having the camera laying around there, because if that, it's so fun in our life, if that simple situation was not there, this entire thing might not have been here today. Just those simple things, the trust that she gave you, like, you know, it's like, oh, you can have it. You know, most people, like, you can borrow it, then you use it for a couple of months and they take it back, and maybe that's how the story ends. But the fact that she lent it to you for the long term run, and the race became history as it is today. So the thing you did want to talk about, we're not talking about it, Right Eye Creates. So first, let's just start with the move. Yeah.
Well, I thought maybe it would make my story too long. Maybe I thought maybe if you talk for a bit, then I kind of break, and then I come back, like we go for a commercial kind of, and then come back and then finish it off. Yeah.
I don't know. The floor is yours.
You want me to get into it now?
Yeah.
Well, Radar Creates. So it used to be Radar Shorts. That's how I opened it on Instagram, when I opened my first the Instagram account for the pictures that I was taking. So it was Right Eye Shorts initially, and then I only changed it to Right Eye Creates when I opened it, because I felt like I'll be posting more than just pictures or photography content. I felt like I'll be posting a lot of things, and I'm trying to diversify my content on TikTok, but it's mostly videography and editing. But I try to do memes and music memes. I don't know if you can call them that, something like that. So Right Eye Shorts, how it came about to be, my right eye is actually blind. I see with one eye. It happened when I wasn't born like that. It happened when I was 16. Just did like major migraines, and somehow a vein popped like on my right eye, and then it's totally blind, doesn't see, it's just darkness. So I only use one eye. So how the name come about, I was like, okay, so I'm blind in the right eye. I try to now see that as my view eye, the one that sees in abstract, you know, the creative eye, though it doesn't see, sees in maybe, let's say, in another parallel universe of creativity. So that's how I came about Right Eye Shorts. It's not because incorrect. I feel like a lot of people think that it's right is left or right. So it's the Right Eye Shorts. That's how that name came about. Because when it happened in when I was 16, yeah, it happened when I was 16. When it happened, something that really affected me. It affected my self-esteem. Already I was a quiet kid, and you know, having to deal with that as well, it was just kind of hard for me. It took me a long time to be able to look in someone's eyes when I'm talking to them. I always kind of find a way to avoid it, because I would always feel like they're just noticing my eye, and they're just wondering what's up with his eye. So, you know, it took me a long time to actually get my confidence back. And right now I can say, since I see it in that way now, it has helped me to deal with it. So yeah, basically that's the story behind Right Eye Creates. It's now Right Eye Creates.
That's amazing. That's truly amazing, especially the history of it. Like, you know, you didn't take that as a burden upon you. You just like no. In a parallel universe, this eye works. And so you're going to create something, especially the detail in your pictures and the quality you do. When most people see this, they wouldn't even think that maybe someone is there, one of your eyes may not be, but it's just, you know, that's how I love about art, just in general, just art in general. Art just tells a story in its own way. And I feel like your stories are very well detailed when you're telling, even just one picture of yours tells a lot of things. I think people will say the picture tells 1,000 words, then a video, it's 1,000,000 words now.
Yeah.
So we also want to build on that issue of confidence. You said as you grew up, there was more confidence. I think street photography takes a lot of confidence. That's, I'm not going to lie, just pulling out your camera in the middle of the street and you're going to take a picture of what's happening. How do you go about your street photography? Do you tell people it's now more like second nature, where you just, if you see a nice shot, you're ready bringing out your camera?
Yeah, it's more like that. I actually just started out like that because the thing is, I was watching a lot of YouTube videos of street photographers, and you know, obviously in their countries, most of these people are like Australian Americans. In their countries, you know, they can just do it like right in front of you. It's okay there, I suppose. But yeah, you know, I never really considered that it was different. I never thought of it like that. So I'll just go into town and, you know, obviously I wouldn't point the camera straight into someone's face. You gotta be sleek somehow. So, you know, using a longer lens, something that, you know, you can actually capture a picture from quite a distance. So I always try to use a longer lens. That's quite helpful. And sometimes, you know, when you see a frame that you think is good, you already have your camera set up, like it's already on shooting mode. You just have to button. So sometimes, you know, you just gotta be sleek and take a real one, a quick one, sorry, and you just flash your camera out and then, you know, just do it real quick and nobody will notice. At least not the person you're trying to shoot. But if you've noticed, I actually shoot people from the back most of the times, because, you know, from the front, it's a bit difficult, even if you have a longer lens, because you're just pointing the camera straight at them. You could be focusing at something else, but to them, you're pointing at them. So that's the thing with street photography. And I also used to be very big. Right now, I'm a bit smaller. I used to be quite big. I almost looked like a bodybuilder at some time, so because that's what I'd used also to gain my confidence back. I started lifting when I was around that stage, actually, when I was 16. That's when I started lifting weights. So at some point I was humongous, bro, and you know, I think I would just look mean and really dangerous. So I suppose that also helped me somehow, you know, with people not really bothering me or trying to be violent or anything like that, because people in the gym can get like that. But I also think it depends with where you're shooting, because I never try to go downtown, you know. I just try to stay inside the city where, you know, it's more civilized, I suppose.
That is very truthful what you said. You have to be skillful about these things, because I just imagine just like taking out your camera and there, your foot, like you said, Zimbabweans are a bit uneasy with this winter, and no one wants to just be caught on camera. Most people are running away from certain things. So there, you're taking out your camera, it's a bit more, you know, you might end up having some conflicts which are unnecessary. But otherwise, like I said, it's really beautiful, especially the street photography. One thing I always tell people is just like, Harare is beautiful, right? Zimbabwe in general is beautiful. I've been around Zimbabwe, I've seen a lot of places. I think recently I went to Chimanimani. The road to Chimanimani, the beauty you just see there, the nature you just see there in Zimbabwe, is like, this is in Zimbabwe. Then I also take it back to like Harare city. Harare is a beautiful city that I always tell people. It's beautiful when there's no one in it. That's one thing about Harare. I always tell people that Harare is beautiful when no one is in town, when no one is moving around. When it's just still and just quiet, you can see the beauty in the city. And you seem to be able to do that with your pictures. If this way of taking something that most people may not see as beautiful, and you turn it into this magnificent thing that is truly, it's a truly amazing skill that you have. And can you just explain us, how do you go maybe through your routine of just taking pictures on a day? Maybe they say, maybe it's your off day and then you say, I'm going to take pictures today. How is it that process like for you?
It's really not that easy. Sorry. You know, sometimes I wake up maybe on a Saturday or Sunday and say, okay, let me go do some street photography today. Let me jump into town and, you know, take some pictures. I get there and I don't manage to get anything. Like, you know, literally nothing, not even one picture. Because sometimes, I don't know, it's just your confidence levels are not I don't know, they fluctuate, I suppose, sometimes. So that happens sometimes. You get into pictures, you get into town, and then you never get a single picture. Or you take some pictures, but none of them, you know, satisfy you like that. Like, no, these are the ones. And then sometimes you go into town and you're shooting bangers the whole time. Every time you press the shutter button, banger. So it really depends on the day, I suppose. And the thing that I've noticed with photography mostly is if I plan it, it'll fail. You know, it's just something that has to, you know, come there, come, you know, right there. So I try to always move around with my camera so that, you know, whenever I see something, I just, you know, take a shot of it. So wherever I am, my camera is always there as well. I hope no one wants to see what my camera is listening right now. But yeah, I try to have it always so that, you know, when I get the moment, when I'm in the moment, I just take a clip, I just take a shot there. And I move on. But art photography is quite it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting because, you know, you're not choosing your subject. It's just you're just shooting what's there. And I love that about because directing can be quite hard for those people who shoot portraits of models and everything. I don't think I'm that good in directing. So, you know, just shooting something that's already there, you know, something that's happening, action. I think that's what I'm good at. So that's why I love street photography as well, because you don't have to direct people in the streets or buildings or anything. You just have to shoot. And so, yeah, that's street photography. But yeah, if you just, I always tell people that, you know, just out in town with your phone, just taking pictures. That's how you start. And then you get a camera. And then you kind of just ease into it from the phone to the camera. And then, you know, just keep on continuing. I didn't start off with the camera for street photography, but I think that's the easiest way to go about it, you know, because people are always afraid. Ah, people see my camera. Sometimes people don't really mind most of the time. They might just come to make a conversation. Ah, what are you doing? So do pictures. Can I get your number? It's mostly those conversations rather than, hey, what are you doing? Why are you taking pictures? That is if you're in a, you know, maybe restricted place. Sorry, restricted place. Hey, Chulungu. So I've had a few encounters with soldiers actually. I was in second street. Was this is the second? No, it's not second, it's the room with the parliament buildings. I didn't realize I was there, like I was just shooting the whole time. And then I took a flag of one of the buildings. I took a picture of the flag of one of the buildings and the soldiers called me. It wasn't a big issue because it was just a flag, but you know, I had to pay something like $10 to just get out. Otherwise, I don't know what would have happened. So yeah.
Wow, that was a close counter, but at least you got out fine.
Yeah.
Nothing was happening, nothing was damaged. As you were talking, I was having a lot of thoughts and listening to your conversation. Another thing I do love about pictures, my favorite type of pictures are action pictures, like pictures captured in the moment where your subjects are not even paying attention, you know, like at a party, at something, or just like doing town, like people just doing their own business. Because those pictures have the most stories to tell. Different, they're kind of different from the ones where someone sits down and you know you've got your winter setup. But the ones when people are just being all natural, you take it states so much, it says so much to the person who's gonna see it. That is truly amazing. And
Definitely.
that's some one skill that you have well and pinned down. And I see it in your pictures. There's always so much story to tell in your art. Then there's this saying that yeah, we're always supposed to improve our skills, and I see that you have done that. You have moved from, not like moved, but I see that it used to be, as I went down your Instagram account, it used to be like still photos, then you upgraded to put it into videos now, then into adding effects on that. And especially like the effects, because the effects were the ones which made me know you. It was the cloak effect, the ones you did for, I'm not sure which churches
Oh,
it,
the
but
cathedral.
yes, that
Yeah, the
one.
one close to the Parliament building
Yes,
downtown, close to Fort something. Yeah.
that's the one. That's the one. And especially the way the towers, you made the cloak come out, and I was just like, this is truly amazing. The editing, the winter vibe of it. So how did you then, you know, transcend from just doing normal photos into doing a bit of videography and also a bit of After Effects now? Because I see that you use the on your profile, it says use a Canon 700D plus Photoshop plus Premiere Pro plus After Effects. So how did you then, you know, bring this new type of art? Because a lot of people do take pictures, a lot of people do take videos, but no one does it in the way you do it. How did you build that skill of yours, that brand of yours?
I'm I'm always interested in really cool stuff. I just like being creative. Actually, when I was at AU, I was running the meme page there. The AU Just Kidding meme page. It's still there. It's being run by someone else now, but I actually opened it and started it. So I've always liked creativity. So when I see something cool, and I understand the work that goes into it and the creativity, the thought process, I'm just like, okay, maybe I need to do that also. So I've always watched that kind of content on Instagram, on my Instagram reels, and I have most of them saved from, some top of the world. So I just started learning from them, from their tutorials on YouTube. And then, they would say you need Photoshop, you need Lightroom, you need Premiere Pro, you need After Effects. And I tried to get those and I managed to. So I would just learn from them almost every day. I watch tutorials almost every day, and I still watch them up to now. Even when I'm editing like a project, and then I need to an effect, but then I'm not sure how to do it, or maybe I forgot, or I have no idea how to do it. I just go and search that effect up on YouTube, then I watch it, then I just go along as I do my own effect, my own source into it. So obviously I started out pictures. I was just using Lightroom and Photoshop. Then when I was now transitioning into videos, I started using CapCut. It's actually a phone application. Well, I think most people know it actually. So I started using CapCut. I wasn't too familiar with Premiere and After Effects at that time. I had them, but then I was still trying to learn how to use complicated then. So I would basically do my color grading, everything in Premiere Pro, and then I would export my clips to CapCut. That's where I would do most of my transitions. They were minimal then, but that's what I would do. And put the text, like the lyrics, over the top. I would do that in CapCut. Then I started learning Premiere Pro, got used to it, and started learning After Effects. After Effects is really complicated as well. Now, it's getting a bit easier. It's becoming a bit more natural to work with the applications. They're really cool applications, I must say, because the things you can do are just, it's just your imagination, really. So whenever people actually ask me how to do the things that I do, I always tell them to just maybe watch some YouTube videos. That's what I did. That's what it takes. They teach you the basics, and then you got let the rest of imagination, do the work. So that's what I always tell people when they ask me, like, can you teach me how to edit? It's not that simple, because there are processes within processes, in editing. To achieve one effect, it's not just a tap of a button. You gotta do some processes and more processes to just achieve one effect. So I always tell people, watch this guy on YouTube. I recommend him, a couple of channels, and say, but you gotta be creative as well, because it won't help if you're not a creative. No offense, but that's the matter of the case. You gotta be creative to be able to actually apply those effects to your own work, because you can't do the same that you would have watched on YouTube, because it's not the same clip. You have a clip, so you gotta use what you have, using what you have learned. So editing has become sort of natural now, but it's a growing phase. Trust me, it took me quite a lot of time to actually be able to do the things that I do now. It's a very long process. Not a very long process, but it just requires you to just keep on learning, to just keep on practicing. You have to practice. So yeah.
Thank you. Those were some words. You really said a lot to people, and how people get that it's a process. It's not something that's done one day, next day you're already the best in the world, and you're already doing or creating all these things that you're already doing. Because even when as usual, I think your profile says it a lot on Instagram. If you go to the earlier videos, then you go to the later video, you can literally see that you are always improving, you're always trying to learn new things and getting better and better. I always say to people who also want to get in these fields, I myself, I'm a graphic designer, but not at your level or anything like that. But I always tell people, like, when you see something online, when you try and copy it, in that failure of trying to copy what that person has done is when you create your own things, when you create your own special touch, your own brand of editing or your own brand of photography. When you're like, oh, this guy, what did they did is cool, let me try and do it. But sometimes you might never get it exactly as it was, or you get it, then you start thinking more, like you said, you start thinking more things on top. maybe start getting better ideas. Like, oh, what if I do this effect? What if I do that? And you create this whole entire new thing that people haven't seen before, and people are bound to fall in love with it. Then, like yourself, how does, I think most people right now want to say, okay, I'm someone like you. I'm someone like Mike. I have my photo. I've got my camera there. I got my thing. How do I get some clients also, on the side? Because I feel like you said, people always want to do their passion to an extent that, but you also want to make money off their passion. People might want to know, how do you get clients? How do you, is it marketing? Just a bit more of the business side of your skills.
At the moment, I can't say. There's quite a bit. I get a few clients. Okay, maybe I'm being too humble. But I never really look at it as a business. I think that's the bottom line that I'm trying to say. I can't really say I market my work. I just try to post as much as I can on Instagram, TikTok. But I also think that's actually one of the best marketing strategies, to just post, because people who love your work, they'll definitely come to the DM and then, ask for prices for what they need, and then you get to work. So what I've been doing pretty much, I just post on TikTok, I just post on my Instagram as well, even on WhatsApp. I think I'll be opening a YouTube channel soon, maybe to show some tutorials on how I go about, the processes that I do. So it's just when I post, mostly it's when I post something, that's when people come to the DM, because people don't usually just go to your page from nowhere, look at the whole page and then DM. They come to you when, you post something, and then maybe it goes out to a lot of people. A lot of people see it who might not even know about you, and probably is a music artist, someone, also in the creative industry, and they want your type of content, then they definitely inbox you. So that has always been my strategy in sort of marketing myself, in quotes. I never really do any ads or flyers. I just really post on my social media, and I engage people who might be interested in that, and then they get to work. That's mostly it. I've actually worked with people from the UK, artists from the UK, some from Nigeria, some from Australia. I don't really post my work on my page. I feel like it's private for them when they post it. Maybe, they can take me, fine, but then on my page, I feel like, that's sort of like work now. You actually got to show my own creativity, like things that I would really shot. Because for most of these people, I've just edited their music videos. They're sending clips, then I edit them, then I send it back.
That's lovely. That's lovely. Especially like you just said, you don't really think of it as a business to you. Of course, if people do, clients do come, it's not like you're gonna turn away the extra funds. And especially like you said, every time you post, it's usually when you post something, then people find it, then they will definitely come into the DMs. I think Instagram, like, and TikTok is like the best marketing out there. You can just put yourself there, not even in the tension of marketing it, but you find your clients coming to you. And I would say definitely please start a YouTube channel so we can learn some of those skills, so we can also upgrade our skills, that we can also create amazing things like you do. So one of the few things that we want to get over with is just like, can you just tell us, some advice to those people who are out there also starting in terms of photography and all the skills you do? Like, someone wants to get into that part of the world, what type of things would you say? What type of roadmap would you give them to get things up and running? Especially, I know, in terms of media creativity in Africa, it's not something that is very looked well upon. Yes, it's slowly coming there, like most industries, it's slowly getting up and up, but not a lot of people, are supporting their children to be like, oh, you want to be a photographer, you want to be a videographer, or you want to go to school for this stuff. So what advice would you give to those people who got the ambition and the passion to get into this?
Well, with the situation in Zimbabwe, obviously, I think I won't blame the parents also for not wanting their kids to be creative, because creative work in Zimbabwe, I notice, it's kind of downplayed a lot. Creatives don't really get exposure that much. Even look at SimCeleb, the posts that they usually do, I guess, like drama. They do some creative work, but it's rarely. They really post creators on their page, and the I'll talk in terms of the entertainment industry as well. You know, you can see that creativity and visuals are not really fluid, even if you watch the PC. You know, it's just really basic, you know, there's not much to it. But if you have a passion and you're good at it, you know you're good at it, you know, you love taking pictures, something that, you know, you actually want to do the rest of your life. I would just tell you to, you know, just don't be afraid. You know, don't be afraid to fall. You know, just take out your phone even. Just start taking pictures around the house. You only get better the more you do it. But, you know, you don't get to enjoy it or to a stage where you are caught by just, you know, thinking about it. You have to get out and do just take a picture of something, take a video of your family, you know, get better at it. Get better using the software. You know, you just keep on growing. That's the thing. The moment you start taking out your phone, you're just taking pictures, you know, small videos, you know, a few pictures, get in town, maybe take a few pictures of buildings, some landscapes, then you move into a camera, then you start seeing your stuff. It only gets better if you have a passion for it, because your passion for it makes you consistent. So I would say, if you're being told to, you know, to not pursue photography, you know, just pursue it on the side. Don't let it be your main thing. Just pursue it on the side, and eventually it will overtake the main thing you're doing, and then you might start actually living with photography, with videography, because you're only better with time. You know, the more time you put in practice.
That's very lovely. Like you said, you only get better with time. Just keep on doing it. Just keep on doing it. If it eventually overtakes the main thing, make it the main thing. Give more time and focus there. So, I've also seen in your works these days, there's also a bit of more of some AI things these days. Especially, I see you're using that AI, the new technique, where you replace things, the original image, you replace it with different pictures, which is a really lovely thing. Then, of course, there's always that feel like, oh, AI is going to take this from us, it's going to take this from us. What are your thoughts on that thing? Do you think it's really that something we can stress about, or it's just more like it's just there to help us do a better job?
I'd rather think of it as it's here to help us to do a better job, but also at the same time, it's getting so realistic that you can't actually tell it the difference between a picture, for example, that has been taken by a human being or a picture that has been made by AI. So when it comes to that now, you know, if you can't differentiate between the two, I think it becomes a problem for some reason which I can't quite place. Because there has to be, I feel like there has to be, you know, some discrepancy between, you know, art by AI or art by people. And art by AI, it's getting too good and too realistic, and it's a bit scary. It's a bit scary, but I don't think it will ever get to that age where it takes over, where it takes over art, so that we don't have photographers or videographers anymore, because it's just something that, you know, you can't make with AI. You know, you can't. Let me think of something. I'm trying to think of something, but nothing is coming to my head. But I feel like there will always be something that I can do, something that you need a human touch. You know, AI, you're putting prompts into a box for you to create. You know, it doesn't have that feel of, you know, taking a picture, taking the shutter and capturing a moment. AI can capture a moment, but you can, a human being with a camera can. So I feel like there should always be that difference, you know, between, you know, the two. Let me call them applications, you know, the human being application and AI application. So yeah, I feel like it won't ever to a point where it actually takes over, because just some things that, you know, it can do, that humans can't do, sorry. But also there are some things that humans can't do that AI can. But, you know, I suppose, you know, it's technology, it's just an application really. So yeah, I like to think of it as more, it's here to help us, and, you know, it's here to create maybe better art or get more creative, and, you know, just put something different really.
I think we're on the same brain thoughts on that. That is just here. It's just a tool that is there to assist us make our vision way better. Because it's just like any other tool we have gotten over the years that is there just to come in. Of course, when it starts new, it's always scary. But from what we've seen these days, especially with this with that technique you guys have been using a lot of swapping out images. I remember you did it for the Harare Gardens pillar. It's really amazing when you see it. It's like wow. It's just like yeah, it looks amazing. Because originally, what would have happened back in the days? What you'd take that video or that picture, then you have to go on YouTube, I mean on Google, and start searching for different monuments and trying to find the right picture, the right quality of the picture. And
Well, that's actually what I did for that
you did that.
Gardens Tower.
You didn't use
Yes,
AI.
that's the process. No, that wasn't AI. That was,
Oh.
masking out buildings from the internet and placing, composting them into that video.
Oh, so I mean, I thought you used the AI
Yeah.
route, because most people, that's what they
No,
do.
that was, I'm using AI recently, but for that video it was manual, so as to say.
How about the clock one? Did you use AI, or it was also manual?
No, that was manual as well. Most of my effects actually, I just do AI to just minimal AI actually, just change some things, but most of them are manual because with AI sometimes, I don't like to pay for applications, especially
Yeah.
for the good AI you have to pay. So the free ones, you don't really, get what you want. It's kind of fidgety and it's not really, the thing that we've wanted. I used AI, a good example where I used AI, there was this video I made when I was at the farm. It's a video where you can see their goals and everything. That using AI, I use AI with the car. There's a scene where there's a car and then it changes into different cars. I think yeah, that's when I specifically used AI. But the clock, the almost every video actually, most manual work.
Because my thought was like, I thought you were using AI to like generate images, like most people. That's what I was talking about. Like, most people just use it to like generate images. Then, of course, you do the whole entire masking thing by yourself in the video editor. I don't know if I was, you haven't done that before or not. But, anyways, I think that's where I was going with that conversation. Like, you know, that's how most people are using AI these days. Like, something like OpenAI, their DALL-E E thing that they just take their picture, then they put it
Yeah.
on DALL-E, they mask out the plots they want to change, and they just say start saying, "Oh, make it look like this." Then they get a generated images. Then they take all those pictures, then they put them in the video editor. Then the entire video is made. But if you haven't done that, it's something you should try out. I think you've seen it already on other YouTubers who have been talking about that issue. But it's something that I've also
I
seen.
have.
So you have done it. So
I have.
I think we
On
crossed paths somewhere.
very few videos, yeah, on some very few videos. Otherwise, most of the pictures for that, especially for that Harare Gardens Tower, I downloaded them from the internet.
Okay, so I think we're talking about the
Yeah.
same thing and we cross paths somewhere, but otherwise, I think,
Yeah,
yeah,
probably. Yeah.
like I was saying, AI is something just a tool that's there to make. Imagine that I'm saying, instead of taking you about 2 weeks doing that, getting all these individual pictures, it maybe can take you a day or a couple of hours just to get all those pictures that you need to create the vision you're making. But otherwise,
That's quite true.
I think we, in terms of photography, we've talked about it all today. I think we people have gotten the bigger picture of Right Eye Creates, what you're doing. And what I think a lot of people would want to hear the story of yours, because I think, as you can see, the engagement on your post these days is getting higher because more people are interested, especially since it's something Zimbabwe. You know, it's like, oh, I haven't seen Zimbabwe in this light before. You know, like when you see a picture like this, you'd be like, oh, is that Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe? Ah, I've never seen it from this angle before. Oh, is that Joanna City? Or is that, I've never seen these type of things. So your story, I think we've accounted for your story today, and most people are willing, will be having a nice episode to listen to. So for the last thing, can you just give us your social media platforms where people can find you, how people can connect? Maybe people want to do some business with you.
It's Right Eye Creates, RightEyeCreates, CreateS, both Instagram and TikTok. I think I'll be opening a YouTube channel soon. That's the two channels that I have at the moment.
Okay, we'll share them as we release the episode so more people can connect and more people can see the beautiful work you've been doing. Otherwise, Mike, thank you for being on today's episode. It was a great pleasure to have you talk about your journey, talk about how you've been navigating this work-life balance and everything else. Once again, thank you. It's our pleasure.
Thank you so much, Aubrey.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Make sure to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to. Also, make sure to follow us on Instagram, Africa's Blank Canvas Podcast, so you're always up to date with the latest news. Don't forget to share. That's the only way we grow.